Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? I mean, that's a powerful verse. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he who started a good work in you will complete it. So don't be discouraged. Don't get off track. Just keep believing, because God is still working in each and every one of us. Father, we thank you for your word. Let it be alive today. Let it speak to each and every one of us. Lord, let it accomplish everything that you've set out to do today in our hearts. Because that's the promise, Lord God, that your word will go out and will accomplish that which you've intended for it to accomplish. And Lord, we want it to accomplish something great in our hearts. Lord, we'd like for your word to draw us nearer to you, and nearer to your plan for our life. Lord, we also ask that your word will minister faith, hope, grace, and mercy. We pray, Lord, your word will be alive. And Lord God, we'll just, Lord, we'll be able to apply it to our lives and be able to live out our lives successfully for you and for your glory's sake, for no other reason. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, you may be seated. Just hang on to Philippians chapter 1, and that's where we're going to be. We're going to be sharing out of Philippians. As I said, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be dealing with each and every chapter. We're not going to go verse by verse, but what we're going to try to do is, out of each chapter, pull out a theme for that particular chapter or something that we can apply to our lives. If you notice on your notes there, I've given a general topic to the whole series, and that is, life's too short. Enjoy it. Because you're going to find out as we get into this, and I hope that's not misleading to you, or I'm not saying something that maybe you don't believe. I hope I'm saying something you do believe. Paul points out very clearly that he wanted every moment to count in his life. In all situations and all circumstances, it didn't matter what was happening, Paul had a focus, he had a purpose. And he knew that God had called him to something. I believe each and every one of us can live that same way. We can live with a focus. We can live with a purpose. So because life is too short, no matter how long that is, we ought to enjoy it. We ought to live fulfilled lives. And we're going to find out exactly what that means here in just a moment. But we're going to look at a couple verses in Philippians, verses 12 through 26. So if you just follow along, I want to read those verses. And then we're going to go back and we're just going to talk about what's happening here. Paul, remember, he's writing this. Paul said, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, but sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, with all boldness as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet What I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. As we look at the book of Philippians, we're going to find out that Paul mentions over and over again the fact that no matter what was going to happen to him, he has taken a stand and he has taken a position that he was going to rejoice, that he was not going to allow anything to deter him from what God has called him to do, but not only from what God has called him to do, but from keeping the right kind of attitude before all people. Because I think Paul realized something that we all should realize, that our lifestyle, our actions, the way we handle the various situations speak volumes about who we are in Christ, more so than our preaching. So Paul was willing to live it wherever he found himself. And I guess that ought to be our prayer. We need to live this life, this abundant life, no matter what the situation is. We're going to find out it's going to speak the same amount of volume that Paul spoke. I've come to realize that most people don't really enjoy life. They endure it. They're kind of just getting by from week to week. How often have we heard and how often have we entertained? And not always is this a negative thing, but it's like, all right, if I could just get through this week, the weekend will be here again soon. Thank God it's Friday, has been the saying for how many years? So people endure the week, maybe passing up hundreds of opportunities to be a witness and encouragement to others simply because they've been defeated by life itself and not able to stay on top of it as Paul was able to stay on top of it. The idea that life must be perfect to be happy is a false idea. Life, first of all, is not going to be perfect. We're used to saying something like, if I could change my situation, if I could change the circumstance, if I didn't have this particular problem, if my kids were just, you know, it's kind of an if all the time. And we kind of live in that world that when these things change, things are going to be better. But I think we all realize there's no such thing as a problem-free life. If we're going to enjoy life, we're going to have to learn. Say learn. It's a learning process to be joyful in all situations and in all experiences. Happiness comes from the word happenstance. And then we eventually get the word circumstances. And what this leads us to, it depends on our happenings. It depends on our circumstances, what our attitude is going to be. And unfortunately, that can change rather quickly. Joy is an internal thing, whereas happiness is more of an external thing. You have a happy time at Disney World, but you leave Disney World, it's not happy anymore. You look forward to a happy time on vacation, or happy weekend, happy time with your family. But when you leave that happy time, we also leave our happiness behind. Joy needs to be constant. And the big question is how do I maintain my joy in the midst of it all? A little bit of background of Philippians and Paul's situation at a particular time. At this particular time when he writes this book, it's at the end of what has been a four-year period of time where he found himself in prison. Two of those years, he was in Caesarea. I would say that his circumstances for the last 4 years have been less than desirable. He's in Caesarea, trumped up charges, and he's headed for Rome. So he has to make a long trip. They're going to send him to Rome. Now, he wanted to be in Rome. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But on his way to Rome on the ship, there's a big storm. The result of the storm, it's shipwrecked. The result of it being shipwrecked, they found themselves on an island. while they're on the island, they're trying to make the best of it. And the first thing they have to do is prepare a meal and prepare a fire. While he's preparing a fire, putting a piece of wood in the fire, guess what? A poisonous snake bites him. The poisonous snake bites him, and then it's wintertime. They can't sail, so they're stuck on that island for a period of time. Stranded, bitten, stays for the winter. Now he's in Rome, and he's been imprisoned for 2 years, chained to a guard. Would you say that's less than desirable situation? I don't know, there's many of us in here that really, at the end of that kind of a stretch, maybe you've been in a battle, you feel like you've been in a battle or in prison for 4 years. Well, this message is for you. And yet Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. How can you say that? How can you go through the things that we go through in life and say with all faith, believing it, but not only believing it, not only a mental assent to that reality, but actually you're living the kind of life where it's obvious you rejoice in all situations. It hasn't stolen your joy, hasn't changed your attitude. I'm sure if you're sitting there like I would be sitting there, I'd say, I want that. That's the kind of life that I want to live. So what's the secret? How do you stay positive? How do you stay joyful? How do you keep that attitude? I believe that Paul gives us four secrets, if you will, and that's what we're going to pull out of these verses, four essentials for joyful living. The first one is this. If we're going to maintain a joyful attitude in all situations, you need to have a perspective to live from. Let me explain that. A perspective to live from. In verse 12, we read this, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I would say that Paul had a perspective that not very many people have. To be able to say that in the midst of all this, a perspective is the way you look at things. He looked at his situation differently than others were looking at the situation. I think other people were having a harder time seeing Paul go through this than Paul was having. He said, I see this differently. I see this as an opportunity. How many of us see our problems as opportunities? You see, everyone has problems. You brought a problem in here probably, or some of you did. But the problem is not the problem. The problem is never the problem. It's the way you look at the problem that is the problem. Turn to someone and say, I get it. Your problem is not your problem. How are you looking at that problem? How are you looking at that situation? What is your perspective? You need a perspective to live from. Now, Paul was seeing the best and the worst. God was at work in the problem. Even when they don't go away, Paul seemed to get a hold of the fact, God, you must be working in this situation. Because he was able to say that non-believers are being witnessed to in my attitude toward them as a result of this. He was able to say to believers, they're being encouraged. Look at verse 13 of that chapter. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The guards, being the non-believers, were being witnessed to. They were seeing something they were never exposed to before. They were seeing a lifestyle that, and probably questioning, how could Paul be this way? I mean, doesn't he realize where he's at? And the believers, they were being encouraged. They're saying, listen, if Paul can do that in prison, we're out here, we're free, at least we're not in prison. Can't we do a better job on our job of maintaining a testimony for Christ? Can't we do a better job in our neighborhoods of keeping the right kind of attitude and letting it know that we have freedom in Christ? Now, Paul always wanted to go to Rome, but I don't think he really wanted to go this way. I think it's like all of us. If we want to go somewhere, I think he probably wanted to go and have a big crusade and preach the gospel. That's probably the way Paul wanted to go. Instead, he ends up in prison. But being in prison, he writes four epistles that make up the New Testament. Four of them. Philippians is one of them. And he writes them from prison. He probably wouldn't have had that same opportunity if we were busy out there doing all the things that we do, even in the name of Christ. But yet, God saw a purpose in that problem. I want you to take a look at this just in a very practical thing. Maybe sometimes we overlook some of the things that God does in situations like this. Paul was put in prison, and the guard that was put on him, with do a little bit of research, was a very elite group of soldiers. You did not become a palace guard unless you were the cream of the crop. You were at the top. Matter of fact, these people were held in such great esteem, and they had reached such a level of prestige as guards go, as soldiers go, that after 12 years of being a guard in the palace, you could retire as a leader and wealthy in the Roman Empire. So you were something. Think about this. Paul is chained to these guards. How many guards? I don't know exactly, but you can estimate whether he's chained to one or he's chained to two. But they're there all the time, 24/7. These guards are right beside Paul, chained to him. 4-hour shifts. Strategically, can you see what God might be doing here? That he has Paul in a situation where he's influencing the cream of the crop. He's influencing people that are going to mingle with the leadership of Rome. Matter of fact, the Bible says that his effect even went to Nero's family. If you just take a little look at this, and I did a little bit of figuring here, but the guards that were chained to him every 4 hours for 2 years, 4-hour shifts, that means there were 4,380 guards that were chained to Paul. Now, probably there was a lot of those that were repeated. They did this every day or something like that. But look at the opportunities, 4,380 opportunities to share the gospel to this elite group of guards. Have you ever looked at your problems and maybe your perspective of seeing it, that who can I influence even in the midst of this problem, this difficulty that I'm going through? Nero's family was even affected by the gospel. Nero's wife, we're told, and some of his children converted to Christianity. Now, they lost their lives as a result of it. Nero had them executed as a result of it, but they found Christ. They had eternal life. Verse 14 says that most of the brethren were encouraged. See, my attitude toward problems should be one, how can I be used of God? Courage is contagious. And I think Paul's courage was like a fire that spread. He had a perspective. Look at Romans chapter 8. We know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So what's the lesson? Here's a lesson that we can learn from this. To have a perspective to live from, here's the lesson. God has a purpose behind every one of my problems. Do you believe it? Hopefully you do. Second of all, I need a priority to live by. What are your priorities? Paul had certain priorities that he established in his life. And because of these priorities, he was able to keep things in perspective. When things get tough, I need to know what is really important in my life. I need to continually distinguish between what is trivial and what is significant. I need to live life. You can live life either two ways. You can live life from one problem to the next, or one priority to the next priority. And a lot of people just go from one problem to the next problem, thinking that if I get through this problem and I get through, what happens? Your whole life is just problematic. It's just full of problems all the time instead of priorities. You need to decide, what are these priorities in your life? How are you, what is the priority you're going to live by? If you don't decide it, someone else is going to. That's just the way it's going to be. Look at verse 18. Paul said, what then? only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. Paul was determined that he wasn't going to allow any circumstances or any critic or anything steal his joy. I was thinking about this yesterday because it had happened to us in a personal way. How many arguments over little things that really don't matter get us in big problems? The little things, the things not worth really losing our joy over. And if you just take a look at it, and the personal thing about it is Cheryl and I were out going to some graduation parties of the graduates that we know and were invited to. As we're going from one particular party to another party, she gave me the address where it was, and I thought I knew where I was going until Cheryl spoke up. And Cheryl said, no, why are you going this way? It's over here. And I said, okay. And I drove there. And while I'm doing it, I think, I don't know why I ever listened to her directions. They never work out. But I'm not going to say anything because I know it's just a little thing. And here's what I was thinking when it was going on. Now, I'm not hiding this from Cheryl. She was in service last night and she heard me say this. And then she said, I want the mic and give my side of the story. That's the only thing she's not here to say that this morning. So I have free will to say what I want to say. But I know that we're headed, and we're on the wrong side of I-70. I know we're on the wrong side of I-70. There's not a way to get back there. But that little thing, and I'm thinking about all the other times that I could have made a big deal out of that, that would have turned into some kind of argument where you're not talking to each other for the rest of the afternoon. How many have been there? Am I the only one that does this? Robert, you've only been married a short period of time. You should be raising your hand yet. Later on, you can raise your hand. It'll happen. But little things in life that really don't mean much at all, we get hung up on. And Paul was able to keep priorities before him. Keep your priorities before you. Keep the priorities right. It'll make your life a lot better. You'll be able to maintain your joy a lot better. It's not worth losing your joy over. Know what's important. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us what's important. It tells us that in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. What's important is God's ways. Putting him first. Here's the lesson. Focus on what really counts. Focus on what really counts. If you want to maintain your joy and rejoice in all situations. Third, I need a power to live on. Perspective, priority, and power. We definitely need a power. We don't have the strength to face all our problems. We just don't. There are too many of them. They come too quickly. The world that we live in, there's too many things happening for one human being to handle it. That's why God's given us His Spirit. And our strength comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, the Bible says. Verses 18 through 20, look what it said. Paul said, I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Now I want you to know two things. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul said there's two things that made a difference in his life. Two things that provided power for him. Now, one, we can kind of just assume that as believers, followers of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us that power. It's the Holy Spirit who has become our comforter. He's become our guide. He's become our teacher. He's become the strength, the power, the dunamis power that we need in our life. But it's interesting what Paul said. He said, your prayers. I bring this out because I think it's important. Don't isolate yourself from the fellowship of the brethren. Don't try to go it alone. Don't try to just come to church and, you know, you come in and you hear and you go back out, but you never establish kind of friendship or relationship or get involved in whether it be a group or a Bible study or a ministry. You see, this isn't just to raise our volunteer level. This is to help us. It's the strength that we need because we're all going to go through problems. And you can't do it alone. We need one another. We need friendships. And that's why I say, and what I'll say on Wednesday night at the Taste of Faith dinner, I said, listen, one of the most important things you can do is get some friends. I don't care how big the church is or how small the church is. You need a couple of friends that you can hang around with, that you're going to meet on Sunday, that you're going to fellowship with, because they're the ones that are going to know when you have a need. But there are so many people that come and we don't even know they have a particular need. But I want to tell you, the things that work is when there's fellowship, when there's friendship. I am amazed at the testimony when someone's faced with a problem, when that fellowship or that home group or that Bible study, they rally around that person and they come out of it saying, man, if it weren't for that group, I don't know if I'd be here. Get involved in something. The fellowship of believers that is so important to us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things, say all things. It doesn't say some things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what's the lesson? With God's power, nothing can devastate you. I use the word devastate, not destroy. I wrestled over destroy because I don't think it's so much that we're destroyed, knocked out of the boxes. We're devastated by our problems. We're just worn down by them. We're just overcome by them. So a perspective to live from, a priority to live by, a power to live on. And last one, we need a purpose to live for. Paul, by this time, is old. He really is. He's old. He's somewhat tired. He's been in prison for 4 years. We just read the words where he said, listen, I'm ready to go. He said, I really am ready to go. But you know, when Paul said that, he said it in the context, listen, he kind of said it this way, you know, I'd be a lot better if I did go. I mean, he wasn't suicidal or anything like that. The reality was, hey, listen, it'd be better for me to go. But he had such a purpose that he was living by. He said, but listen, it's not good for you that I go. It's not to your benefit that I go. So for me to die is gain, is Christ, but also for me to live is Christ. And that's what he had, that purpose. Do you have a purpose that you're living for that makes your life count? Everything was taken from him, his friends, his ministry, his freedom, his privacy, but the one thing they couldn't take from him was his purpose. And that's something the enemy or no one can take that from you. If you got a purpose that's burning in you, it doesn't matter where you're at, you're going to do it because it burns, it's a passion. Verse 21, look what it says there. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, what did he mean when he said for me to live is Christ? It really comes down to two things. If you're going to live for Christ, there's two things that I can see that we need to do. Number one, witness for him. Just be a witness for him. Be a testimony for him. You do it through your life and you do it through your words. But the other thing, you know what the other thing is? Encourage one another. Encourage one another. That's what we're called to encourage one another. And that's what Paul was saying. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, he said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm pressing. I'm pressing toward that purpose, that goal that I believe God has called me to be a testimony for him, to be an encouragement to other people. That's what it was all about. I put a little thing in there, kind of challenge us, and that is this. Fill in the blank. You can do it now or you can do it later. What would you put in that blank? For me to live is, yeah, that's the spiritual thing to say. That's what we know Paul said, but in all reality, is that the way you live? And hopefully it is the way, but there are so many people who would say, for me to live is listen, I want to get ahead in this life. I want a bigger home. I want more prestige. And they really live with that as a goal. And Paul said, for me to live is something different than that. So what's the lesson? Really comes down to this little thing here. The secret of joy. Here's the secret of joy. You ready? Jesus first. Others second. And yourself third. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last. I'm convinced, I really am, after years of hanging around this thing called church and Christianity and the world, I'm convinced that the reason there is so much unhappiness, so many people are depressed, and so many people are discouraged is this. There's a total preoccupation with self. And when you're preoccupied with self, your life is out of balance. What's best for me is not what's best for you. What best for me really is to keep the perspective, to keep the priorities, to keep the power, keep all that in line. Again, there's no problem-free living, but we certainly, if we take hold of these things, we can live victorious. We can live rejoicing. Would you stand with me, please? Simple message, but if you can get a hold of it, if you begin to apply these things, listen, when you begin to live for others, put Jesus first, live for others, and you begin to see your life a little bit differently, see it the way Paul is, listen, you can't help but be filled with joy and rejoicing. It'd be ridiculous for me to say and ask, well, how many people need this? I need it. I need to learn this over and over and over again, so I'm going to pray for all of us. Okay, Father? We thank you for the example that we have set before us and the great man of God, Paul. But Lord, like every other human being, he had his problems. There was nothing different about Paul than there is about everyone in this room. Just like you said, there's nothing different about Elijah. And he was a great man of God than we who are in this room. We all have different desires. We all have different passions. And Lord, one thing, if we're in this world, we're going to face problems. Lord, you said that in the world, you're going to have persecution. We're going to have problems, but we're not of this world. Lord, help us to take hold of that kind of thinking, that perspective. We're not of this world. So, Lord, I know that there are some facing problems now that, Lord, just seem like they're so overwhelming. But Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they'll find a strength and a power from your word, an encouragement from your word, an encouragement from this example, Paul, that he had his difficulties. But Lord, it never stopped him. Lord, here we are 2,000 years removed from Paul's life, and we're reading about it and being encouraged, and the words come from prison. A man who was chained and yet wrote truths that came from your very heart. And Lord, we can't do this on our own. This is not something we do in and of ourselves. It's only something we do as we yield to you and we look to you. And Lord, we want to look to you right now in the name of Jesus by faith. You said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, let the word of God minister to each and every one of us. Lord, let not this just be a message that came in and quickly goes out as we leave. But Lord, let us think about life as we go today. Let us think about the things that we're faced with today and be able to say with all faith, without any doubt, Lord, you're with us. And because you're with us, we are confident that the work that you started in us, Lord, you have promised to continue to do that work. Continue to help us along. Continue to guide us. Continue to lead us. Continue to encourage us. Continue to grant us grace and mercy that we need. Lord, lift us out of our circumstance. Lift us out of our problems and let us see as you would have us see, Lord God. Help us look at our lives and begin to determine those things that are important. And let us focus in on those things and let us live each and every day with these priorities, with this power, with this purpose as we look at life, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the church. We thank you for the believers, I pray that as we go, we'll even encourage one another today as we pray for one another, putting you first, others second. And Lord, just trusting you're going to take care of our needs as we do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.